I don't remember the teacher ever really coming to help me. I don't think they noticed me, to be honest. I tried to blend in and just be unnoticeable when, yeah, I don't remember interacting a lot with the PE teacher. That when I told my friends and family that I was going to take PE, that they all laughed at me. And they're like, why? And I said, oh, because I'm not very good at sport. And then I thought about why I didn't like sport much. And that's when I came back to thinking of my own PE education.
This is the Phys Ed Cast. Welcome to another episode of the Phys Ed Cast. And my guest today is an incredibly brave individual, somebody who had a less than ideal experience of physical education as a young person in school, but now quite inspiringly has become a physical education teacher. It's a long and complicated story, but I really urge you to spend the next, 30 to 40 minutes listening to this episode to hear the amazing story of a girl named Kelly from Melbourne who grew up with very negative experiences and memories and associations around physical education, and has now found herself thrust into the world of physical education as a physical education teacher. It's a story that starts quite, negatively, but comes full circle. And Kelly is someone that really, really, really inspires me a lot, especially with this story. So I hope you enjoy my conversation with Kelly. Like I said, stick with it, listen to it. It is a bit negative at the start in terms of her experience, but it's definitely something worth listening to. Maybe it'll help you connect with some of the students in your class that may be having a similar experience to Kelly. And then listen to her story as she becomes a physical educator and the steps that she's taking to make sure that all the kids in her classes are experiencing the joy of movement and physical activity. I hope you'll enjoy my conversation with Kelly.
That I get them sometimes to demonstrate stuff. So, I told them on the first day that when I told my friends and family that I was going to take PE, that they all laughed at me. And they're like, why? And I said, oh, because I'm not very good at sport. And then I thought about why I didn't like sport much. And that's when I came back to thinking of my own PE education. And
Well, it seems like it's a perfect time. It's a perfect time, I guess, right now with PE sort of like really embracing that idea of like lifelong activity and sort of moving away from more organized sport. Because I feel like for so long it was just like, well, you know, just do sport. Whereas now it's more about how can we like get kids to just like find enjoyment in movement so that they want to be active into
That's
their
right.
life. So it's like a really perfect situation. And like, what an amazing experience for your students to see somebody who, you know, self-identifies as saying like, this is not something I'm very good at, but I'm willing to like try and sort of like learn alongside you. Like, I think it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what I've been trying to do, because I'm sure there'll be kids in there who were just like me at school and would try to avoid it. And when I went to school, for whatever reason, the teachers let me avoid it. So, you know, I'd get to PE and I'd either say, I feel sick, I've got a headache, I need to go to sick bay, and they'd let me sit out, or they'd let me go to sick bay, or they'd let me score. And they never really pushed me to join in. And I think I don't remember being taught actual skills, say for a game of netball. I don't remember being taught the skills of netball or the rules. It was just, okay, we're doing netball now. And I'd just be standing there.
Expected to know how to do it.
Yeah, and I hated that. And so if I made a mistake, then that was the end of that. I didn't want to do it anymore because I'd stuffed it up. How embarrassing. You know, people are going to laugh at me. So I would just avoid it if I could, and I was pretty good at avoiding it. Yes. So now when the kids try and do it, I say, I know that trick. What, you know, what can we do to make you feel more comfortable about it? So I said on the first day how I said all of this, and I said how I want to be the PE teacher for the kids who don't like sport, who teaches them to enjoy PE. And, of course, I want the kids who love PE and sport to love it even more. But, you know, I think I've got the insight to those kids who don't like it. So I want to try and make it better for them.
Yeah, and that's amazing.
Yeah. That's cool. And I'm really trying to change that shift because for ages they're going, I'm trying to teach skills, like, you know, fundamental motor skills and things like that, even in the grades 2, 3, 4, and they're going, we're not supposed to do this. We're supposed to be playing football or play a game of basketball. And so I'm trying to get them to see the shift that it's not a sports lesson, it's physical education and health. And so I teach them the skills to help them play those games. So I'm not going to teach them a game of football. I might if I, you know, want to as an extra, but my job's not to teach you how to play football. My job's to teach you some skills so then you can go and learn to play football. Yeah. And they're starting to come around to it.
It might be good to go back a little bit to the start.
Yeah.
And so I might like just ask you, I guess, like what are your earliest memories or experiences in physical education?
I remember getting hurt a lot. probably a little bit clumsy or a bit unco. I remember we did hockey once in primary school, and we had those big plastic hockey sticks, the red, blue, yellow ones with the really big foot on them, I guess. I don't know what you call it, the hook part.
Yep.
And I remember, so obviously I hadn't managed to get out of it because I was doing it. I managed to get hit in the head 2 weeks in a row with a hockey stick. So that got me out of doing the rest of the lesson, but that wasn't intentional. Another time I remember we were playing like a Tiggy Chasey game. I would have been grade 3. And we're playing on the concrete, and I tripped and then smashed my face on the concrete, and I broke my front tooth. And so there was blood everywhere on my face, and my tooth was broken. Luckily, we found it. It'd broken in half. An adult tooth as well, so it wasn't like I was going to get another one. And then so the principal had to drive me down to another school who had one of those dental vans at the time. So I'm sitting in the car with a glass of milk and my tooth in a glass of milk, which turns out was no point anyway. You need to have the whole tooth in the glass of milk. And they had a look and they said, yeah, no, you can't fix that. Can't put it back together. So I had to, I don't know, I think I ended up going to like a dental hospital or something, and I got a cap put on my front tooth. So that one definitely still sticks in my mind.
I
remember playing a game of netball. I'm standing there with the bib on with whatever position I was. I didn't, you know, I wouldn't have had a clue what the position meant. So I didn't know where I was allowed to run, where I was allowed to go. So I'd sort of just stand there and I'd sort of try and hide behind people so no one threw me the ball. And if the ball did come near me, I would usually duck instead of trying to catch it.
And what sort of reaction did that, like, what were your peers and your friends, like, what did they sort of, how did they react to when you did stuff like that?
I think they would sort of just go, you know, to be, oh, she didn't get it or that sort of thing. And then we often pick teams, and I hate that. I never do it as a teacher, but, yeah, I'd never get picked for a team. I'd always be last because everybody knew that, you know, you don't want Kelly on your team because she won't be any good or she won't be fast or she won't catch it or, yeah, so, yeah, people avoided having me on their team.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because I feel like you're like kids. I mean, you don't have to ask kids who the best players and who the worst players are. Like, yeah. Everyone, they all know.
Yeah.
It's very obvious.
Yeah.
So then I guess, you know, what did a regular PE class look like for you? Like, what was the teacher doing? How many kids are in the class? Like, what sort of things were you doing in a normal class?
I know we had in primary school, we did have more than one PE teacher, but I only remember one, and he was very tall. And I was, I'm short now as an adult, so I was very short as a kid. So I just remember him being this really big person and with a loud voice. So maybe, yeah, possibly a little bit intimidated, so I'd kind of hang back a bit. I don't remember, yeah, being taught skills. From what I remember, it was, okay, we're playing this game today. Here's the equipment. Let's get started sort of thing. I'm sure at some point there was some skills, but I don't remember them enough to say that we did it regularly.
Do you have any memory of then, like, okay, like, so obviously this game's being played, you're playing hockey, you're playing netball or football or something like that, and it's pretty obvious to, as you said, pretty obvious to everyone that you're struggling and maybe you're not getting the ball, or like when the ball does come near you, then, you know, you're making a mistake. And, you know, what was the teacher doing in that situation? Would the teacher just sort of like brush it off? Would they come and help you? Like, what was the response of the teacher?
I don't remember the teacher ever really coming to help me. I don't think they noticed me, to be honest. I tried to blend in and just be unnoticeable when, yeah, I don't remember interacting a lot with the PE teacher, even in high school.
So even in a sense of then, like, you wouldn't seek help. You would prefer to just sort of melt into the background and just hope that nobody noticed.
No way I was going to go and ask for help. I didn't want to be seen as doing things wrong or not being able to do it, even though I couldn't do it. So I would just try and blend in and hope no one saw me, sort of thing. And I think, yeah, possibly
so that was
a little bit intimidated by the giant teacher. I would just try and hide and hope no one saw me.
Yeah. Understandable.
Yeah.
So I guess, like, that was your, what you said, in primary years. What sort of happened when you got up to high school?
In high school, I became quite close with the school nurse, and I don't know why she did it, but she'd often, you know, write me a note to excuse me from PE, so I'd just sit there and watch. But on the times I did participate, again, I don't remember doing a lot of skill learning. It was a lot of game-based stuff. I remember I did enjoy when we did badminton and soccer because I was okay at those for some reason. So when they came up in the curriculum, I would always join in for that. I remember also game of korfball, which I've never heard anybody else do since. I don't know if you know it.
It's sort of like netball.
Yeah. And I really enjoyed that because one of the rules was if you're trying to defend the goal, of, you know, putting your hand up and really making an effort, and if they got a goal, even though you were doing that, it didn't count. So I liked that because it didn't matter how small I was because I was the smallest again. And it didn't matter how small I was. As long as I was trying to stop it, a goal wouldn't count. And being quite little, I was able to weave in and out of everybody else and get there to defend the goal. So I found that I was good at that. And on one occasion, I was playing against my best friend, and she's tall. She's now nearly 6 foot as an adult. So if you compare us in high school, I was a little tiny thing and she was quite tall. And she hated playing korfball against me because I could stop her goals. And one day I'd grabbed the ball and she grabbed it a second after me and we were fighting over it. And she pushed me and I slid backwards on the ground, and then we were laughing about it. And then my team and her team were all going, send her off, and I just thought that was so funny and I loved it.
Yeah.
And so that was a really good experience, but I didn't have many of those in my
It's interesting to hear you talk about it because if I look at it from a teacher viewpoint now, it's you experienced success. There was an element of you experiencing success, and you know, for you to experience that success, all you had to do was try. Of course, then you had a positive experience. So, what an amazing thing it would have been had you know you had that opportunity to, I guess, experience more success through trying rather than being, I guess, not necessarily forced to, but expected to perform at a level which is, you know, within a game. So interesting. I wanted to ask you then, I guess, about sort of outside of school then, like you've mentioned that, you know, you didn't identify as someone that was good at sport. Was sport a part of your family, like outside of school? Like were your parents involved in any sport or sort of friends or anything like that outside of school?
My parents weren't in my lifetime involved in sport. They may have when they were young. I think Mum played netball, and I know Dad played a bit of footy when he was young, but only at school level sort of thing, I think. I wasn't really involved in sports. I did swimming lessons. I did dancing. I did drama. I was into the more creative stuff, I guess. What else did I do? I liked doing crafts and stuff like that, so I wasn't a sporty person. In high school, I did do a little bit of badminton, and about four of us girls from school would go. My mum would take us and drop us off and then pick us up again and then take us to McDonald's on the way home and that sort of thing. And that just happened because, we'd done badminton in high school sport, and then I think I was telling Mum that how I liked it, I was enjoying it. Then she noticed we'd had enough of
something.
But yeah, no, I wasn't really into it. I did want to do. Sorry. I was going to say that I did want to do soccer. I remember wanting to do soccer in primary school because we had a couple of Socceroos come. I can't remember who it was. I wish I could. I was only grade two at the time, and I didn't actually know who they were then. But, you know, I got their autograph because that's what you do, and they gave out flyers for soccer, and I wanted to do it, but my parents actually wouldn't let me at the time. They were too worried I would get hurt because I was so small.
Yeah, that's always going to be my question.
So I didn't get to do that.
Was going
to
be around then, like, you know, obviously, like, you said you were more interested in, like, crafts and creative stuff. Was that that, you know, that was your parents sort of noticed that interest and that was where they sort of like directed your free time rather than sort of trying to encourage you to join sports. Yeah. It wasn't that they were like actively discouraging you from being a, like, if you wanted to do it, then.
No. Yeah. I think if, depending on the sport, if I think they could see a risk with me playing soccer. I know they were worried about me breaking an ankle or something. Because I was so small and, you know, people are kicking at your feet sort of thing. Maybe if I'd said something like netball, which was, I guess, more less of a risk, maybe they would have said yes to that. But, yeah, I didn't really show an interest other than the soccer and the badminton. So they didn't ask me and I didn't ask, so they didn't say no. But, yeah, it just wasn't my thing, so they just didn't really think I wanted to do it, I guess. If it were like a family outing or friends or whatever, you know, they'd be quite happily letting me run around and play with the footy if I wanted to.
Yeah.
But it was usually I might do it for 5 minutes and that's enough now sort of thing. Yeah, because I'd be running away from the ball anyway.
All right, so I guess like there's obviously the research that's been published recently around how people's memories of physical education have affected their, I guess, physical activity levels as adults. Like what's your physical activity level like now, if you don't mind me asking? Like how active would you say you are, and do you think that the memories and the stories that you've told me so far have affected your desire or your ability or the amount of physical activity that you're now doing as an adult?
Yeah. Well, I've got a heart condition as well, which I've always had. So that means I get puffed out really quickly. And that's always been another thing affecting PE for me, because, depending on what we were doing. But if there's a lot of running involved, then I'd be tired in a few minutes. So that's put me off doing sports as well. So lack of skill, lack of knowledge of rules, and just my physical ability has put me off wanting to do any team sports, just because I feel like I'd be letting down a team, I guess. I've seen netball players and footy players of my age, and I'm just, you know, they're amazing, so fit, and, you know, could run forever sort of thing. And I'm just like, well, I can't do that. There's no way I could do that. So that definitely has impacted my fitness as an adult. I go through phases where I exercise for, you know, a couple of weeks, and then I'd sort of drop off again and started up again. And so at the moment I'm trying to increase my exercise.
As we all are.
Again, just by, you know, yes, yep. I think a lot of people are like that. I do see a personal trainer every now and again, and I really enjoy that. Because she knows my limits, and she'll push me, but she won't push me too far. I enjoy that, because if it's just me, then I'll go, oh, I've had enough now, even if I could go more. Whereas, yeah, she's good at judging how much I can actually do. But, yeah, other than that, I don't – and other than teaching PE, I don't do a lot of exercise.
Sounds like
or
she's
physical.
The physical education teacher that you needed when you were younger.
Yeah, she would have been great. And I sort of think you should be a teacher, but obviously she likes working with adults.
Did you ever have a female PE teacher or a female sort of role model in physical activity?
I only remember one female PE teacher in high school, And I remember I didn't like her. And I don't think she liked me either, because didn't want to participate, and, you know, I wouldn't try very hard, or I'd give a smart ass comment. And then she wrote me a bad report as well, and I'd never had a bad report in my life. So I was very upset about that. But it was probably a good report, really. It was an honest one, whereas all my other PE teachers, I don't know, they just sort of said I was going okay. Whereas she, you know, she made comments, you know, Callie doesn't want to participate. And no one else really paid any attention to that.
You know, like maybe she was honest and was telling the truth, as compared to maybe the other teachers who were in the same way that they were happy just to let you sort of fade into the background. It was easier for them just to then say, well, if I just say that she's doing okay, then I'm not going to have the parents breathing down my neck or anyone asking questions. It sort of like goes with that same pattern of behavior. Speaking of role models, I guess like we've spent some time talking about, you know, your experiences as a young person, but I think what's so amazing now is the fact that actually you are now a physical education teacher. I don't think we need to go into like the semantics of, you know, how you fell into that job and stuff, but you're in that role, you're teaching it, you know, like what's it like to be a PE teacher?
It's fun, surprisingly. I was, started the year convinced I was going to hate it, preparing myself to start looking for another job. And then, I was going, oh, this is kind of fun. I'm, you know, having fun with the kids. We're laughing. I'm telling them about my history with PE, and they're kind of, you know, accepting it and going, oh, cool, so we can help you when we do football. And, you know, oh, I'm really good at basketball, so when we do that, you know, I can help you. And yeah, it's been fun, you know. And I talk a lot about saying, we're going to learn this skill today. So, for example, bowling a cricket ball. So I Googled how to bowl a cricket ball last night, and this is what I learned. What can you show me, you know, to improve it? Or is this how you guys do it? Or and then we'll have a laugh at my attempts at doing it. Sometimes, you know, if I do a good job, they'll be, oh, that was great, Miss B, you know, oh, well done. And, yeah, I don't know, I think they kind of get a bit proud of me as well. And then when they do an awesome job, especially the kids who can't do it, the rest of the kids are starting to praise them up as well, which is really nice, because, you know, kids can be a bit mean sometimes, and, you know, I talked to them about picking on kids' abilities, and I said if that was me as a kid version, and you were picking on my ability, I would have gone, well, that's it, I'm not doing it anymore. And then they kind of went, oh, okay, then, you know, what we say or what we do can have a big impact. And I think that's been really good, not only for the kids who were getting picked on, but for the kids with better ability to start appreciating how they can affect other people. It's been a really fun year so far. I'm loving that I get to teach the whole school. Being a small school, we've only got 9 classes in the whole school. So I know some bigger schools have got 2 or 3 PE teachers, but it's just me. And, yeah, I love teaching everybody. I really get to know the whole school, even the parent community. So now, you know, everybody knows me. I can have a chat to them after school or before school. So that's been really nice. I feel more connected to the rest of the school, I guess. What else? It's been very busy. There's a lot of organising, which I didn't see as a classroom teacher. I never saw that part before. But there's a lot of inter-school sports and inter-school athletics, swimming carnivals, you know, and then kids get through to the rounds and they go to the next level. So a lot of that's been a challenge to deal to organise, because it's just so full on. You finish one thing and then you've got to start organising the next one. Yeah, so that's been a challenge. And so I also teach STEM 2 days a week, but I feel like PE takes up most of my time.
Aren't aware of what STEM is. What does STEM stand for?
Yeah, so it's science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
Do you have any background in that either, or is there something else that you were sort of pushed into?
yeah, I've got a little bit of science background, but not a lot. I'm not confident in it, but it's something I enjoy. So coming into this year as a PE and STEM teacher, I thought, oh, yeah, I probably liked the STEM stuff, you know, with the science and technology and getting into coding and robotics and stuff like that. I thought that would be my preference, but it's actually turned out PE is more my preference this year. I'm enjoying that a lot more. I think partly because I do spend so much time on the PE stuff and not much on organising the STEM stuff, that it's just... Yeah, PE is just overwhelming STEM a little bit. Perhaps next year when I've got a better idea of what I'm doing, I might have a little bit more time
for
STEM.
This was going to be one of my questions is, we spoke a little bit before about, you know, how you ended up in this position and that it was probably something that you didn't want to do or weren't comfortable doing and then you've embraced it. What's the future hold? Like, is this something that you want to continue going down, or if a classroom position became available again, would you just jump straight back in there?
No way. I would definitely continue doing PE and STEM if I'm allowed. I think I've decided at the moment for the next few years, I don't want to be in a classroom. I don't want to be a classroom teacher at the moment. As much as I loved it, doing it for 9.5 years, I was getting tired. And I know in Australia, I don't know about over in Canada, but within 5 years, a lot of graduate teachers have left the profession altogether. And I can easily see why, as being a classroom teacher. So I was at 9.5 years. And I was getting ready to leave teaching altogether. At the moment there is no way I want to go back into a classroom full time. I'm really enjoying teaching the whole school rather than just one class. I love that I've got less demanding assessment requirements. I'm not having to do running records for reading levels every 4 weeks, and I don't have to do a pre-test and a post-test for maths every 4 weeks, and all the online testing that all the classroom teachers are doing. I don't miss that. I'm learning how to do my own assessment with PE and STEM, and that's a challenge as well because it's not a written test or a reading test or anything. So that's something I'm getting my head around this year and working on. I don't miss the report writing. So I do still do reports, but it's I just write a general comment for the year level and then give them a score. And that's my requirement. Whereas as a classroom teacher, you've got to do a whole individual report on literacy and numeracy, speaking and listening, plus give you scores and do it for 30 kids in your class. So I really don't miss that.
It seems like you definitely, like without all of those requirements, have a lot more time just to learn about how to teach something that's new and learn What are the ways that you can be successful in it? I guess, you know, you mentioned a little bit earlier about, you know, going to YouTube and finding information, resources and videos on there. And that's a fantastic place to go because there's so much stuff on there. What other ways have you sort of like tried to find out how to do this job?
Yeah, so I've signed up for a few of the ambassador programs we have here in Australia. So we have the AFL, Australian Football League, ambassador program. We have the netball ambassador. There's a cricket one. There are probably others I haven't signed up to yet. A lot of them give you access to teaching resources, which has been really great. So, you know, with the AFL, I can get lesson plans and games and just even just build up my bank of games to play sometimes with kids. So I've been doing that. I'm doing online learning as well. So I'm doing through Netball Australia or Victoria. I'm doing like a coach's course just to, I guess, learn a bit more about teaching physical education because it's so different to teaching in a classroom, teaching, you know, reading or writing. It's been good so far. I haven't finished it. I'm probably halfway through. So doing, online things like that. I've been to the ACSPA, which is the Australian Sporting Teaching Organisation. I've been to their PD at the beginning of the year for beginning PE teachers, and that was just great because I learned so much about planning and assessment there and just even how to use certain equipment in ways that I probably wouldn't have thought of. Pinterest is a great one as well. YouTube, I've been getting a few reference books. I just found a stack of them at school that had been hidden away and I thought, they would have been good to have at the start of the year. So I'm trying to pull all those out. And I've got a great set of books that came out in Victoria. I think they're older than I am, but they're The Teaching of the Fundamental Motor Skills, and it breaks down exactly how to do each skill. So a catch is not just you just catch the ball. It's, you know, you've got to be looking at the ball. You've got to have your hands out, your elbows bent. You've got to move your body towards the ball. I never really thought about those skills before.
Because you were never taught them.
Yeah, it was just... You just do this, you know, but explaining it and breaking it down. And I can see the difference in kids as well. So it's like, we're working on jumping today. And they go, we know how to jump. And so I see them jump. And then I've taught them, okay, but you actually need to do this, 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 and this. And then there's you can see usually a difference in and an improvement in their skill. And I'm really trying to teach the kids. I've got them displayed in my indoor PE area, the skills. I've made posters. And so I talk about them even at a grade 6 level where they think that PE is playing a game of football or netball and say, okay, we're going to work on this skill. Yes, I know you know how to run, but these activities today are going to be focusing on that so you can improve it. And I think that, they're starting to see the benefit of doing that. And I'm trying not to teach a sport. I'm teaching a skill, for example, kicking. Okay, we're learning about kicking at the moment. Or can we play football? Yeah, we can play football today, but next week we're going to be playing soccer because it's another kicking sport sort of thing. So rather than teaching a sport, try and teach a skill that can be used in a lot of sports, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm conscious of time because I think we've been chatting for a while now, and like it's been fantastic. And I just want to say, like, I think you're an absolute inspiration to me, and to I think a lot of people who are going to listen to this. I think that, you know, like I've spent actually this week I've recorded I think you know 9 or 10 episodes of this podcast with people that would be considered to be, you know, at the very top of their profession, whether they're researchers or like really master teachers. But I think talking to you, this has been my favorite conversation so far
this week.
And it really sort of warms my heart to hear the story of somebody that had, you know, quite a negative experience as a young person and has used that experience to take risks and to try and change that experience for kids now as an adult. So I guess my last question before we finish is, you know, if this platform, hopefully, you know, like people are going to listen to this, if you're a physical education teacher listening to this, like what would you say to them, you know, about those kids that they may have in their class who would be or were like what you were like as a student, you know, that kid that always gets missed out, the kid that hides in the background, the kid that, you know, maybe isn't the most confident. Like what can teachers do to make sure that they're engaging those kids?
I think it's really important. I know a lot of PE teachers love sport themselves, and they really want, they probably really enjoy it when the kids are really great at the sport as well. And, you know, they send their kids off to athletics or into school sports. And like, I'm so proud of my kids as well, those ones who are really great at sport. But I want to remind those kids that they can always be better in terms of improving their skills, but they can be better because they can mentor other kids. They can be supportive of other kids as well, and just try and see it from the kids who aren't keen. Try and see it from their point of view. Think about, okay, why are they not enjoying it? Maybe ask them. I often wonder what I would have said if my PE teacher had said, why don't you like joining in? Because I ask my kids and they'll say, I don't want to do it because I look funny, you know. And I said, well, you've seen me do it and we all had a laugh and it was fun. So let's, you know, I'll do it with you so we can look silly together, you know. Just trying to make it not a big deal about winning or being good at it. Try and make it more fun and have a laugh. Try and get them to see that it's not a big deal. You know, acknowledge that they might not have the skill that you need to teach them. Show them a different way. Get them a peer mentor. Because perhaps, I don't know, sometimes I can't explain things in kid language, you know, but maybe a kid could explain it better. So, yeah, just really try and think of how they might be feeling or what could be the problem, and just use all your resources to help them. Because if you're helping them, then you're going to get more participation, and then you'll be helping the ones who are good at sport as well, because there'll be more participation and they'll be able to do games better, or, you know, they'll have people to work with. And I don't know, that doesn't make sense, but
no, it does. It makes so much sense. I think everything you said makes perfect sense. And I think what you're talking about really at the heart of everything is relationships and building relationships between not only the teacher and the students, but the students with each other. And I often say to my kids, I have a poster up outside my gym, which actually was made by Joey Fife from thephysicaleducator.com, and it says, the game is never as important as the people you play with.
I like
and,
that.
You know, like you may be the best athlete in your class or the best athlete in your school, but like it's not very much fun if nobody else is able to play with you.
That's right.
And at the same time, you might be the worst person in the class or the worst person in the school. And so, you know, if we build those relationships between teachers and students, so teachers are able to help students, students feel comfortable enough to be able to ask the teacher for help, because that's something that you told me earlier is, you know, like you never felt like you could ask the teacher for help or you wanted to ask the teacher for help.
Yeah.
So, you know, building that relationship and then having kids build relationships with each other as well so that they're able to support each other and help each other along, then, you know, everyone's going to be in a better place. So,
yeah.
I want to thank you so much for speaking with me. I want to thank you for all the work you're doing. And as I said, it's a really inspirational story.
Well, thank you.
So, yeah, thanks for chatting with me.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you. Anytime.
I'd like to continue to connect with you in over the next months and see sort of how your journey continues, because I think it's really cool. Like you've really inspired me, I think.
Oh, yeah, good.
Well, there you go. There was my conversation with Kelly. I connected with Kelly through Instagram, where she has the account, the NARP PE teacher, or non-athletic regular person PE teacher. If you're interested in connecting with Kelly and discussing some of the things that she spoke about in this episode today, you can do that through Instagram. Her handle again is the NARP PE teacher, so THE_NARP_PE_teacher, TEACHER, the NARP PE teacher. I'm sure she'd be happy to have a discussion with you about some of the things that she talked about on today's show. As I mentioned at the start of the show, an absolute inspiration. I love how she's turned her negative experience as a young person in physical education into something that's a positive now, as she tries her very best to make sure that all the students that she teaches have a positive experience in physical education, no matter what they enjoy or how they move or how they feel about movement. So again, a huge thank you to Kelly for taking the time to speak with me. I actually spoke with her quite a few months back now, and I've been trying to get this episode out, and I'm really, really glad that I've been able to get it out there. And I hope that everyone who is listening has been able to take something from it. Incredibly brave of Kelly to share her story with the physical education community as well. So thank you so much, Kelly, for doing that. I look forward to speaking with you again soon with another episode of the Phys Ed Cast. Next time we'll be speaking with the man, the myth, the legend, Skylar Bowles, Mr. Spike Ball himself. I look forward to sharing that episode with you very soon.